Hey, welcome to Hindsight, the podcast. I'm your host, Lee Jones, and I'm thrilled to embark on this journey of exploration with you. We often find ourselves reflecting on the choices we've made and wondering how our lives might have unfolded differently if we had taken a different path. Here's the beauty of hindsight. It gives us a chance to gain wisdom and learn from our past decisions. Look, this podcast is a platform to dig deep into those pivotal moments and uncover the invaluable lessons hidden within. Look, I'm Lee Jones, your host, and I couldn't be more excited to have you on board. So let's dive right in and explore the fascinating realm of decisions on Hindsight the Podcast.
When you look back in hindsight, everything is 2020. In hindsight, we make mistakes, we're learning from it. In hindsight, it should be your today and your tomorrow. In hindsight, it's so much clearer now.
This is Hindsight the Podcast, and introducing your host, Lee Jones.
That's what we're gonna do.
All right, so I got the record started. Hey, welcome to Hindsight the Podcast. I'm your host, Lee Jones, and today my guest is the talented Holly Hester. She's an entrepreneur, an author, speaker, actress, and a real estate expert with over 12 years of experience. Her book, Higher Living, an insightful look into the living a higher life, came out in the summer of 2022. And we'll talk about that today. Currently, she's also an artist, creating and selling contemporary and Renaissance artwork. I'm excited to have Holly here to share her journey and insights on higher living. Welcome, Holly. How are you doing today?
Hi, Lee. How are you?
I'm doing pretty good. Thank you so much. Your book came out, and I want to focus a little bit, actually a lot of bit, on the concept of higher living. In the true spirit of hindsight, what inspired you to pursue the concept of higher living in your own life's journey?
Surely, absolutely. So higher living actually was a concept. It's funny enough, it wasn't created comedically. It was actually created with a purpose. Actually, it was created in a family business. It was actually birthed out of the pandemic. I needed a show that enabled, it was a production company that I worked on. It was a sibling venture. And it started out as a TV show where I would travel from city to city and I would feed people. It was pretty good, until the pandemic hit, like I said, and a lot of restrictions and rules, you know, just completely changed everything. My family member and I, my siblings and I, we just came together and brought a show. And a book was actually birthed out of that, because a lot of people began to ask me after that, you know, your show is cool. I'm really digging your show type of thing. But like, how do I start? You know, you carry all this energy with you and you've been on sets and you've done this and you've done that, your script writing. And, you know, you just have a way with people, because at the time I was getting more into social media. You know, and I was actually, I was motivationally speaking and recording live videos and things like that. And people just kept asking me, where do I start? And so throughout the years, I had journaled a lot. And so that just kind of birthed of the book. And the book is about changing perspective, a focus on that. It's positive, it's motivational, and it's soul feeding. So that's really where the book is birthed. I've had it out now for about 2 years, I want to say. It landed number one in Barnes & Noble in Las Vegas. I'm very excited about that. I love Las Vegas. And you know, it's just going to keep going. So I'm actually planning a book signing for that in the month of November at the Beverly Hills Barnes & Noble at the Grove. So people can actually, I will give further instructions for that towards the end. So, yeah.
Right. You wrote the book. What? Okay. So your family, you came up, you started going out and feeding families during the pandemic and giving them insightful knowledge and energy and, I guess, encouragement, right, to get through what we were going through collectively as a society, as a planet. What made you decide, you and your siblings decide to do that in the first place?
it started off as a concept, and I'd worked with a network head that said, you know what, I really do think that there should be a reality show based on encouragement and going more to the streets with whatever you have. So I got a camera and I said, you know what, I'm going to give you what you need, and we're going to get more in people's faces. We're going to get more perspectives on this. We're going to go out and actually touch people in a positive way. And after the pandemic hit and during the pandemic, it was a worldwide collapse. You know, if you remember that, Lee, it affected everyone. It affected the health. It affected the government. It affected perspectives everywhere. And so it was the worst time possible that actually turned around into the best possible situation because of what people were making out of it. People were going to each other's homes in each other's neighborhoods that didn't know each other from Adam and Eve. I mean, they didn't know. And so the proof was there, so to speak. You know, mm-hmm. So people needed that. They needed that hands-on. And what my production company was going to provide was that hands-on through my TV show and through my book and things like that. And my book explains a little bit more about my upbringing and my angle and my vision for people. So, yeah, I'm excited about it.
So could you share like a personal experience or a turning point that made you reevaluate, and this can probably go beyond, you know, your acting and stuff like that, or maybe during that time, but something to reevaluate your own approach to living a higher life?
Yes, probably abuse and being raised a certain way. Yeah. So it's interesting, Lee. I work right now with men and women alike, because I do life coaching as well. I work with men and women, but the men that I work with, and a lot of people find this taboo, and I don't know why, because I've seen many coaches out there and many mentors that say, no, I only work with men because I'm a man, or I only work with a woman because I'm a woman, type of thing, which I find limiting. But, you know, as long as everything's okay, and as long as things are established in that field. But what I find whenever I work with them is there is such a need for them to be secure in their roles. They want to do their roles and they want to perform in their roles so well, Lee. And I found this fascinating because growing up, this wasn't it for me. I had grown up, Lee, in a home of a very strong Christian woman. And in this, she was the breadwinner. And I had really poor examples of men in my life. And so, and through abuse and things like that, my mother was really the kind of the strength there. So I had a strong feminine examples in my life with all the women in my family and things that had happened to not only my mother, but other women in my family. So, I mean, and all of, funny enough, Lee, all of them had jobs and all of them had worked their entire lives, and all of them were the ones that were trying to pull for their own marriage, you know, in relationships. They were the ones that were trying to make everything work, and they were the ones that were raising, you know, umpteenth kids and just being the super women that they were. And, you know, and that's what I'm trying to say. It was through that example, because, you know, through abuse and, you know, through victimization, molestation, I mean, labels, countless labels. I mean, this really kind of catapulted me to go, oh, wow, could I join in with their voices? Could I really create book content that people will actually find inspiring? Will they get the heart behind in this book? Will they get the heart that is explaining these stories, that is giving them, that is feeding their soul, that is giving them research? Will they understand these things? You know, will they understand this TV show? Will they understand art? Will they understand any platform that I have? And even as a life coach, whenever I can life coach men, and you know, who's going to say something's wrong with that, really?
How long have you been acting?
Oh, a long time. I've been acting probably since a teenager. Yeah, since a teenager. It's been fun. It's been fun encountering young Hollywood, you know, people like Miley Cyrus and Jamie Lynn Spears. And it's just a surreal ride. A lot of full circles. You know, I got my first manager who represented Corey Feldman. And I don't know if you know this about him, but he is not like he's the young Hollywood. He's way in his own category. Like, he's not motivational at all. He's very deep in the type of roles that he represented. And so I had fixated on that. Like, I don't know. I have a manager. Hopefully he doesn't group me with that category of young Hollywood, you know, because hopefully I'm not like the camp, the cookie cutter, the campy sort of Disney type of vibe. You know, I mean, I've been on sets, I've been on HBO, Disney, Nickelodeon, but I sort of leaned more in the direction of HBO. And stuff like that, and material. And my family and I actually have worked on those scripts, you know, and produced our own things to where we we're branching out and partnering more with, you know, deep and dramatic and dark roles and things. I mean, you know, I'll never forget the first role that I was offered. I mean, you know, that was just starting out. I mean, it was a very grainy sort of film, you know, and really it was the opposite of the young Hollywood encounter that I was having. I mean, Miley was campy whenever I met her and was on set with her, and they're all of the young Hollywood at the time was very campy, and that was the energy though then. I mean, it's not the energy now, but it was the energy then, and you just have to pay attention to those things.
Holly and I, we got on the phone in conducting this interview via telephone line, so apologize if we get a little you know, screwy with the signals and stuff like that. But this is a great interview, and I wanted to make sure that I had an opportunity to talk to Holly to get her perspective specifically on higher life and higher living. So I was saying that acting often involves stepping into different roles and characters. And can you tell us about a character that you portrayed that challenged you the most, and how that experience influenced your approach to life outside of acting?
For me personally, a time when I accepted a role, I think was being on a certain commercial, and it had really nothing to do with my career. It was a commercial that I had, and they liked my look, so I was on there, and that was the only one featured on there. It was a commercial about like a Nintendo Hedgehog thing, and I it had nothing to do with anything. But it kind of shifted my mentality because it taught me the politics of the entertainment industry.
Okay, cool. I appreciate it. I did lose you a little bit in there, but I think no, it's not you. I mean, it's technology, right? And, you know, as much as we're like, oh my gosh, the phone disconnected, we also got to think, oh my God, like I heard this comedian say it. I can't remember, Rogan, I think it is, talking about, the signal was going out into space and coming back, right? And you're in Los Angeles. Where are you calling from?
Yeah, right now I'm actually traveling, and there's
better. Okay, so that's hence where we're on the phone, right?
Yes.
so still we're able to talk. You know, I'm calling you. So we, you know, little hiccups. I think we got the gist of what you were saying on that. Just getting a different perspective based off of something that really had nothing to do with your life. It was just a role, right? Nothing to do with your career, but it shifted your perspective a bit. So I got another question. In the world of acting, I assume, because I'm not an actor, but it seems like rejection is a common experience. And could you discuss a time when you faced rejection or a setback in your acting career, and how you use that experience to fuel your determination and your resilience in pursuing your goals? Now, I'm asking you this specifically because we all have careers and we all have things in life, right, where we experience some sort of rejection or some sort of setback. And I just wanted you, from your perspective, like, how did you deal with it and bounce back from it?
Absolutely. I mean, you know, Lee, we face as actors and as people, we face rejection all the time. Think about it.
Yeah.
Hollywood has a glamour, you know, unless you look like Barbie, you're not going to feel pretty about yourself. Absolutely. I faced rejection. The last time I faced rejection probably was in Fashion and Runway. I'm in entertainment and I'm a host, for the Fashion News Live Network. And so guess what? That means that you're not the height, for Runway. Yes, I faced rejection. As far as acting, I have yet to face as much rejection in acting because everyone wants young. Everyone wants new and fresh and young. They do want someone well known, but they also don't want somebody that's like washed up and had their run. Directors like working with somebody easy. They like working with somebody familiar, but they also like working with somebody new. It also depends on the director. And so fresh faces in Hollywood are on demand constantly. And so in that angle, because there's no stigma there, because there's no, how do I say it? There's already a niche there. You know, there's already a place there. That makes it a little bit more of a headway for me. As far as runway and modeling, everyone knows about height. You know, in those, I don't care who you are, that the height stigma is already out there. And so there is definitely, a limitation. And so I'm 5'2½ woman. You know, I'm a 5'2½ Southern blonde. You know, that's, I'm a skinny blonde. I don't have many curves to me, but the reality is I'm not 5'8". I'm not 5'6" and up is what I'm trying to say. Now they're making allowances for that. The industry will continue to make allowances for things, but overall there is a generality. There is a specification. In general, you're given a chance. Yes. So as far as acting, I don't face much rejection in that. You can't, as an actor, you have to have thick skin.
So have thick skin, stick to your lane, right? Those are great, great points for everybody. You get what I'm saying? You know, some things you're just not going to be good at, right? And you can work to get better, or you can work to change the system, or you can work, you know, if those are your passions, if that's your calling, then God bless you. Go for it, right? Be the trailblazer or stay in your lane.
Yes. Yeah. And go against the system if you can.
Yeah, there you go.
Are in history for going against the system. You don't always have to conform. Oh, I'm not the right height. Well, that's funny because because I'm in the fashion industry, because I'm also in the entertainment industry, there are a lot of aggressive men and women out there that do not like the way a certain system worked. So that, what did they do? They went out, and I know a lot of agents who became actors. I know a lot of actors who became agents. I know a lot of actors who also got into fashion, you know, and who have changed the course of their life just to change a certain stigma of what they didn't have, to change mindsets. And their companies are very successful. You can Google them right now. They'll have very good reviews. And just because they didn't like the way a certain group was doing it, and honestly, that they were right, that there was a certain group that did not qualify in their ethics. And ethics is also a huge thing.
Ooh, that's a big word. Yeah, trailblazers. That's right. Give it to them, man, because there are a lot of opportunities to be better, right? To have better systems in place and better opportunities. But sometimes it takes a fight. You know, that's just the way it is in this world. Talk to me a little bit, and I'll be cognizant of your time. But if you could talk to us just a little bit about higher living, right? What it is. And then if you could follow up that with some practical tips or habits you recommend for our listeners who want to start embracing the principles of higher learning. So that's a 2 or 3 part series question.
Well, let me break this down. What is higher living? Most you need, and there's needs to be an understanding. Holly, you know, they if they were to approach me, they would say, Holly, what is higher living? I have done many book signings where people have picked up my book and go, what is it? Right before they purchase it, they'll say, what is higher living? Oh, glad you asked. Higher living is about, you know, type of thing. And they'll read the back and they'll like it. But then when I explain it, it's like a spark just ignites. And so then it's so funny what happens. It's not so much about the chapters. They don't ask about the chapters. They don't open it. They don't do anything. What ignites them to get it is honestly the fact that it's friendliness and it's positivity, but it's also the fact of a relatability. They're trying to do something. Oh, I've wanted to do this for so long. How do I go about this? Oh, I've wanted to. How do you suggest I go about this? They're lacking purpose. I can see it in their whole demeanor. They're lacking purpose. So when they pick up my book, what are they picking up? Purpose. They're picking up purpose, and they're picking up a starting place. They said one person got it, and they waved it in the air, and they go, they'll go, this is going to change me in a short, this is going to change me. I know this is going to change me. And I say to myself, hopefully in a short amount of time, you know, type of thing. Now, when right. I say that to myself, I'm already sending positivity in their direction because I don't want it to take a long time for them. But let's just be really between you and I, because, you know, we both get it. We're both in the podcasting area. We're both in the entrepreneurial area. It's no small or short journey, is it?
Right.
The encouraging part is, you know, they're acknowledging and putting it into existence that this will be a part of my change, right? This book will help me. Holly's experiences and her insight and, you know, just following up on the higher living concept and putting it in a, you know, in a package, right? That's digestible, right? For individuals to get in, but having that mentality that you need to change a certain thing in your life because you want to be better, be a better human being, be a better employee, be a better actor, whatever it is. Just having that idea or that drive to want to change, I think, is very important.
Oh, yeah. And they're also blown away with how easy it is.
Yeah.
They keep telling me, I'm reading all other books and I still can't understand it. And yet I read your book and it's so easy. It's so easy to understand and to start that it compels me to just that I'm already doing it. It makes me realize your book. I read your book and I realize how easy starting is. And not only that, I feel something in my soul. My soul is fed, and people often cry. I'm just going to get someone. So that's the most rewarding. They get very emotional.
Yeah.
And that's very rewarding for me. But you had another answer to this is a two part answer. You're very right. One of the answers is the emotional and the soul feeding aspect of it and the simplicity of starting from my book and the positivity that you're feeding yourself. Absolutely. It's about, I always tell people, it's about accountability. It's about being thankful, cherishing your journey. And it's also about paying attention to where you're going. So it's a
right.
smart thing, you know, not just the book, but it's about a three-part journey. And that's also where you're getting more into life coaching too. So,
okay. All right. So I got a question. I have actually all of my questions are questions, but your book, you chose to start all of your chapters with the letter S. Starting with Stork and some other ones, right? Was that purposeful? And I'm assuming it is. And if it's purposeful, then what were you signifying by doing that?
Yes, absolutely. I was signifying how much power it is, how powerful it is, memorization is. How powerful it is to remember and to make something as so simplistic and connected as possible. We are living in a society today where no one is connected because of social media, because of the internet. And I could go on a spiel about the disconnect, but I'm sure you already get it. We are living in a society today where we are disconnected from the things that we hold close. You know, and one example of this is the fact that we base 65% of people that complete a promise are only doing this because somebody else told them to. Which means they are wanting to feel a connection. They are wanting to fulfill their word, and they're going to call that a connection. That is not connectionally. That, do you know what I'm saying? And you understand what I'm saying in this because you're in the business of communication as well. That is
right.
Not just because you fulfill your promise to somebody, over 65% of this population is, does not mean you are still connected. Does not mean you are still connected to yourself. And it does not mean that you're satisfying something or somebody else. Or does that mean that you're bettering yourself or somebody else or your community. That does not mean it. We are losing the grasp of feeling connected. We are losing the grasp of feeling real, of feeling reality and feeling the human touch and human and the human interaction with each other. I chose the simplistic yeses for it to be very easy to memorize, to be fed, to feed each other, to feed ourselves. And also because I know that it's very, people like those kind of spelling, word play on words type of thing. They like alliterations. People like out there what's easy to pronounce and understand. So probably because of the human connection and begin, yes, there was a plan to it, and there will be more of that in my next book. So that I'm excited about that.
Cool. So do you have any encouragement for individuals who may be considering or even starting on their higher living journey?
Absolutely. I have the encouragement that I would have is what my book is about. There's a chapter on eagles, and there's also a chapter on blueprints. Those are my two favorite chapters. Mm-hmm. One is an entrepreneur in there by the name of Zhang Yo, and what people expected with him, he broke records on land, land entrepreneuring, skyscrapers. He broke records and broke like a skyscraper and an unfathomable amount of time. A lot of people thought because he was doing that, he had been doing that all of his life. That was the number one mistake. And then people also thought he was the most educated man out of everyone around him. That was the second mistake of the mindset. And both are stigmas. The encouragement that I would have to my listeners is this. You don't have to be a certain way to achieve something. And you don't have to have a certain thing to achieve something. Just start. You don't have to be this. There's no have to do anything.
Right.
In this life, you will see things, you will see terrible and beautiful things happen, and you have the ability to make them more beautiful and less terrible. So it's really about that. That's the encouragement from someone who has overcome epilepsy, and I'll just say that in the label thereof. The mm-hmm. label of ADHD, the various labels, the label of ADHD, all types of labels, sexual labels, that kind of thing. From a person who has gone through something, experiences so grainy and situations that were so pessimistic, but optimistically and worked through their way out. Take it from that is you can achieve anything. And it is very possible. Eleanor Roosevelt states it like this: the only person that can take your crown from you is you.
And that's something. It's the mindset. Now you tapped on it a little bit, but what are you working on now?
Oh, what I'm working on now. More script writing. I'm actually going to be launching a cooking show. I can't say too much about it, but I'm going to be launching a cooking show. That's really going to be something very different. Like I said, I can't say with who and I can't say when, but that will be in the works. I'm launching two book signing. One is in, Beverly Hills, California. And the next one is in New York, for any New Yorkans and any Californians, my fellow Californians. So who want to, join in, you can come, there will be giveaways. There're going to be prizes. I will be posting that on my information when it's asked, but that's definitely in the works for future. Definitely more acting and just kind of what I'm doing. Just doing what I'm doing best, and just sort of living my life and enjoying it. So,
Beverly Hills, I haven't been up there in a while. It's just because I'm a little south of you, outside of Temecula, California, the wine country. Yeah. And it is a struggle. I cannot stand driving up anywhere near Los Angeles, Hollywood, all those places. The traffic is horrible. But do you have anything else you'd like to add or to bring up that we haven't touched on? I kept it really, you know, focused on the higher living. You've done a lot of, and you're doing a lot of different things, right? So I didn't want to get scatterbrained and go all over the place. But is there anything that I haven't touched on or we haven't talked about that you'd like to bring up?
So higher living art, a lot of people ask about that. What is higher living art? That's a branch of what I do. I basically just paint the soul. I paint what your soul is telling you and to pay attention to that. How you can find my higher living art is through my Instagram. And also it will be displayed in art galleries in New York and various places. Like I said, just I'm always sharing. All you got to do is follow my material. I would be happy to say hello to you, even at a book signing, say hello to you. Even, I'm very attainable.
Through
social media and certain aspects. I mean, I love people. That's bottom line. I'm not one of those people that just says that. I actually love you and I would love to say hi to you and just hear your story. And, you know, I'm a great listener. So, that's all that I would have to say to people. My art is taking a lot of my life. I'm very reasonable as far as art goes. So if anyone has an interest in art, currently right now, I'm actually drawing a lot of portrait painting of art, but I can do all types of genres. So,
okay. All right. Sounds awesome. So how can our listeners reach out to you? You said you're very attainable. How can they reach out to you or learn a little bit more about you?
Absolutely. I am on a website called alignable.com, but I do have a website out there. I'm not quite sure what condition that's in. Hopefully it's in the best condition. And I say that because there are many that do reach out to me through that. And I always enjoy when they do. How you can find out about me is through my Facebook also, Holly Hester. And it's also my Instagram at Higher Living Holly. You can really check that out. Like my material. We can definitely establish a connection through there. I can give you my email through there. And just reach out to me and, just pay attention to what I'm doing. And I may be in your area signing a book for you or explaining my next piece of artwork to you, however abstract or 3D or colorful it is. So
sounds good. Maybe we can I'm throwing this out in the universe. Maybe we can set something up, do an Instagram live and talk about one of your pieces in the near future. So hopefully you're down for something like that. I find that very fascinating. Okay.
I'm down for working with positive people. So that will work.
Awesome. Thanks, Holly. But I do want to thank you for being a part of Hindsight, the podcast. And I'm grateful for your time. And just so you know out there, like this was an effort. Right. So Holly's out traveling. I had it set up for a computer interview through a virtual studio, and we weren't able to do that. So, Holly, thank you for being accommodating, for both of us figuring out how to get on this phone and make this happen. And also grateful for your time and your openness.
Absolutely. Lee, I this is an honor, and I can't thank you enough for having me on.
All right. And wishing you continued success in all your endeavors. And I'm looking out for this next book. OK, so keep us in the know. There you have it. We got Holly Hester. Holly Hester today. I hope you learned something on Hindsight, the podcast. And until next time. Oh, yeah. And don't forget, make sure you go in and you subscribe and you leave a rating and you leave me a message and I'll get back with you as well. Thank you all for joining in with me and Holly Hester. Thank you. Thanks for tuning in to Hindsight, the podcast. I hope you enjoyed this episode. I know I did. And don't forget to hit that subscribe button to stay updated on future episodes packed with inspiring stories. Before you go, leave me a message with your thoughts, feedback, or suggestions for future topics. And if you're loving what you hear, please take a moment to rate this episode. Your feedback helps me to grow and reach more listeners just like you. So remember, life's a journey. Stay tuned,
Stay curious and keep gaining wisdom through the power of hindsight. Until next time. Oh, and don't forget, subscribe, leave a message, and rate this episode.
When you look back in hindsight.